Now, books were a key influence in the early life of Canadian environmentalist, author and scientist David Suzuki, but it was one landmark book that opened his eyes to the impact of science on the environment. For our off-the-shelf segment of Favourite Reads, David Suzuki reveals which books nurtured his interest in nature and conservation.
From my standpoint, a book that was very, well, two books actually by the same author were very influential for me when I was a child. This is back in the early 1950s. Books by a man named Ivan Terence Saunderson, and he wrote two that I read, Animal Treasure and Caribbean Treasure. Saunderson was the head of the St. Louis Zoo, which was a very progressive zoo at that time, and he described adventures that he had taken on collecting expeditions. And for me as a boy, these were absolutely enchanting, the way that he went out and caught bats and dug up animals in the soil and took care of them and brought them back to St. Louis. They were riveting for me because they just stimulated my ideas of wanting to see some of these exotic places. He was a wonderful artist, so there were all of these hand-drawn, pencil-drawn pictures of the various creatures, and it was, for me, a magical, magical experience, and I wanted to, there were three places I was stimulated to want to go and see. I wanted to go to the Amazon because of all of the wonderful creatures in the Amazon, the air-breathing fishes. I wanted to go to the Serengeti to see the great wildebeest herds, and I wanted to go to Australia to see a duck-billed platypus. And I must say that in my old age, I am absolutely delighted to have had the experience in all three of those places. But it was Saunderson's books that really stimulated that wonder for the natural world. But there is another book for me that was really critical because it changed the whole way that I looked at the world. I was trained to be a geneticist, and I like to think that I was a good geneticist. It was certainly the joy of my life was being a scientist. But in 1962, as I was beginning my career in genetics, a woman named Rachel Carson published a book called Silent Spring. And it was all about the unexpected effects of pesticides. Now, you have to realize that after World War II, there was a tremendous exuberance and excitement about science and technology, that science and technology were going to improve life and the world would get better and better for everybody. And Rachel Carson's book said, wait a minute now, you scientists, you're very, very bright, but you think that just by studying, you can make a powerful compound like DDT, and you can do your studies in the lab, but you forget that the lab is not the real world. Out in the real world, it rains, the sun comes down, the wind blows, all sorts of things happen that you don't duplicate in the lab. So you spray outside in open fields to kill insects, but you end up affecting fish and birds and human beings. And for me, as a scientist, that was a really important book because it made me realize that we don't duplicate nature in the lab. We're not looking at a miniature replica of the real world. What we look at is a very, very limited view of the world, and we have to be very, very careful in how we extrapolate out in the real world. So for me, it changed my focus. Ultimately, it led to a career in the environmental movement. And of course, Rachel Carson was also, she set in motion a massive modern environmental movement just because of that book. And she died 2 years later. But when you look at the way she was treated by the chemical industry, she was called a hysterical old maid. She wasn't a scientist, that she had no business saying what she did. They took her before Congress. She testified under enormous attack by the scientific community. And she was a model, I think, for all of us of courage and of integrity. And I'm glad that she was recognized before she died. But she certainly, I'm ashamed as a scientist for the way that she was treated by many people in the chemical industry.
Canadian writer, scientist, TV man David Suzuki, and his latest book, The Legacy, is published by Allen & Unwin, and we'll put his list of favourite books on our website at abc.net.au/rn/bookshow. And on tomorrow's book show, well, it was a summer's day in 1858 when, in a garden behind Christchurch College in Oxford, Charles Dodgson, a lecturer in mathematics, photographed six-year-old Alice Liddell, the daughter of the college dean, with a Thomas Otterwill registered double folding camera recently purchased in London. Dodgson became an accomplished photographer and then became Lewis Carroll, and Alice Liddell inspired his greatest work, Alice in Wonderland. And Simon Winchester tells us the story about how it all happened in his new book, The Alice Behind Wonderland. So Simon Winchester on the show tomorrow, which you can hear each weekday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. or by going to the website where you'll find today's guest and book details and a place where you can comment. That's it for the book show. I'm Ramona Koval on ABC Radio National. Coming up, First Person.